This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program for the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. Want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode? Join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
This is Walter Koenig, Chekhov from Star Trek, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Risk is our business.
It's like nothing we've dealt with before.
By golly, Jim, I'm beginning to think I can cure a rainy day.
I can't change the laws of physics.
Now in standard orbit, sir.
Welcome, everyone, to Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated podcast that covers the original and new cast of Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. I'm Ken Tripp.
And I am Zach Moore. And traditionally, season three of the original series is considered the worst season of the original series. And controversially, season seven of The Next Generation, you know, gets flack from people. Sometimes.
What are you doing talking about TNG, man?
Well, because we have many special guests today.
But they get really mad when we talk about TNG.
But they're here now, so it's fine. We're happy to be joined by the extra great crew from Earl Grey. We have Mr. Justin Oster, Miss Amy Nelson, and Mr. Richard Marquez. What's up, guys?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Doing well. Thanks for calling us extra great, and you guys are super outstanding.
See, look what we did there. but this is a fun crossover. We haven't done one of these in a while, so we got a full bridge today. We got five hosts, so this will be a lot of fun. So this is something we were talking about. This has been in the works for a little bit behind the scenes. We were talking about, you know, season three being the last season of the original series, and season seven being the last season of The Next Generation. You know, as the show goes on over time, you run out of steam, you start to recycle ideas, you know, it's not as fresh and new and as exciting as it might have been, and like the glory days have passed as far as shows go. Now, for TNG, it was more of a, you know, from that perspective, they're gearing up for the movie, you know? They're starting Deep Space Nine. Voyager's a seed in somebody's mind, you know? So focus is being, you know, shifted from TNG over to these other projects. TOS, they were fighting cancellation. They had been canceled at this point, by all intents and purposes, they got moved to the Friday night death slot. So different angles here, but we just wanted to look at, you know, maybe compare the last two seasons and have a little bit of March Madness. This is March, you know, basketball, college basketball, NCAA, fun stuff. So we're having what we're going to call Trek Madness, and we're going to go down our worst and our best episodes from TOS and TNG, a two-part podcast here. First part will be here on Standard Orbit, and then we'll follow up with our second part over on Earl Grey. Now, Amy has done a lot of work on this, making brackets and lists, and so I'm going to pass the mic over to her and let her kind of explain what we'll be doing here over the next two episodes.
Well, very excited. Have been trying to get all of my Star Trek watching, especially TOS. And so what I did we're going to do a head-to-head. So I organized based off of Trek ranks, the worst episodes going up to the best for each season, one for TOS and TNG. So we're going to take a look at the first 12, being the worst, and then the best 12. And we are just going to have our picks, and then we will decide the winner. And we will see who had the better final season of Star Trek.
Yeah, I think we have a little advantage here because there's three of us and two of you, though, right? We'll try to be objective.
Well, it is funny, too, you know, because we draw the lines by our shows. But I can candidly say that I love TNG. Zach has already you know, admitted on Twitter, I've seen it, that TNG is his favorite series of all time.
Oh, he saw it, guys. I told you not to tell him.
Yeah, I saw it. So I think that being objective amongst this team is pretty good. I know we have a lot of fun with each other going back and forth, and we kind of stick to what we talk about. But, you know, I've never really sat back and said, hey, episode to episode, which is better? I've never done a complete analysis to say which weighs more. I mean, because there's so many differences. But historically, TOS is the foundation and the grandfather of them all. Doesn't mean it necessarily is the best of them all, and I do get that. So I think we can get through this pretty good.
Yeah, and but before we really jump into it, I think Ken and I both agree. Season three, you know, it's the not as good season of TOS. It's the worst season of three. You know, if you had to pick a worst, that would be the bottom. Mm-hmm. Season 17 G, my opinion, honestly, I rank it last. I think All Good Things and like Parallels and the Pegasus were great. Other than that, you got a lot of filler. You know, you got a lot of like. The family
season,
reunion,
right?
As you guys have called me out as saying, as I said, I'm from there to here a lot. So, but where do you guys rank? I'm just curious before we jump into it all. Where do you guys rank season seven in the greater picture of TNG?
Well, there's actually like if I found actually as watching through this that I'd like quite a bit in season seven. It's not last for me. Probably one or two is because there are some issues with those. Although there's a lot I love in season one or two, so it's probably. Third from the bottom for me, but I think it's still a really strong season of the Next Generation.
What about you, Richard?
It's definitely not last. See, that's season one and two. I saved those two spots for those two seasons, but I'd probably rank it in the middle. So yeah, probably third or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Now, why are you hating on season one and two?
I'm not hating on season one and two. I love a lot of season one or two, but it is weaker compared to the other seasons.
Yes. If you had to compare all the other TNGs, yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Still a lot not that I love season about two. I draw the line at season two. So I will give you season one and season seven that those probably are the worst. I haven't looked at it, you know, line by line, but I would say
that'll be for another show. We can break it down.
Season seven is, I mean, it's a pendulum. It's either amazing or not so amazing. So the swing is so great with season seven. So
gotcha. We'll see how the matchups line up over here with TOS season three.
That's crazy.
So should we start with our number 24?
Yes.
Is that how we're doing it? Okay, great. So the first matchup here, number 24, because there are 24 episodes of TOS season three, and there are 26 episodes of TOS TNG. That's a train, by the way. So I live close to a train. Oh, no, something's wrong with the holodeck. The Orient. Let's get off the sea. Look at how tight it is there. Okay. anyway, guys. Which is in season
that
seven.
That is so good.
So anyway, what we're doing here is we're going to do our mashups of the 24 episodes of TOS season three and the 26 episodes of TNG season six. Gambit is a two-parter. That counts as one. All Good Things is a two-parter. That counts as one. So they lined up perfectly for us to do 12 and 12. So we're starting with, from the bottom, we're starting with number 24 all the way up to 13 here on Standard Orbit. And then tomorrow, on our old gray, we'll do 12 to number one. So let's get started. Number 24. And I, you know, looking at what was ranked last for each TOS and TNG, I 100% agree. And this is a very hard round. And the Children Shall Lead versus Sub Rosa, two of the most infamous episodes of the franchise. Ken, you go first.
Don't you remind the listeners and the Children Shall Lead?
Yeah,
that might be helpful to do
just like a little recap.
Just
of
a
each
tiny,
that is an excellent point, like a 2 cents. So, And the Children Shall Lead, you have a alien called the Gorgon. He controls your fears, kills off an entire colony. Only the children survive. They summon this creature, and his objective is to use the children to take over the Enterprise and the galaxy. And they do really weird hand movements as well as Richard is doing.
So, shake weight.
They some great ones, yes.
So,
oh, God, not that one.
Sub Rosa, as Dr. Crusher's grandmother dies, so she goes to her funeral, and begins an intimate relationship with her grandmother's ghost boyfriend.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
Pretty much.
Oh, that's great.
Well, we can let you guys do the summaries for TNG.
No, I'm gonna be biased.
No, I think he did it perfectly.
So based off those two descriptions, what would you rather see, listeners? So, okay, you guys know what some of this is about. So, we should do that. We'll have a little kernel summary for y'all, so you get some, because this is a lot of episodes. I know we're talking, and a lot of these titles can be confusing, like Firstborn and Bloodlines. Like, I get confused with that one all the time. Anyway, so those are episodes, and The Children Shall Lead or Sub Rosa. Ken, you're up first. Of these two episodes, what is better?
What is better? Oh God, it's so hard.
What is the lesser of two evils here?
Yeah, the lesser of two evils in my opinion was And the Children Shall Lead. And the only reason I'm saying that is when they pull in kids and all that stuff, it always makes me a little queasy or uncomfortable. But I just the factor in trying to get little kids to act and to do certain things, I thought that's the only reason. Otherwise I it would have been too hard. But that's why I picked that one.
Yeah, I know we're biased on TOS, but I'm going to go with And the Children Shall Lead as well, because, you know, there's a good idea here. And the execution is poor. I think the idea of Dr. Crusher getting romantic, we'll say, with her grandmother's ghost boyfriend is just ridiculous. And it's got some really odd scenes in there too, you know, like when she's like in her quarters with the candle and stuff, and it's just awkward and it's uncomfortable to watch, and I would rather watch And the Children Shall Lead. And the Children Shall Lead is so bad it's good, you know. Unsub Rosa is just uncomfortably bad, so that's why my vote goes for And the Children Shall Lead. But they're both bad.
To be clear,
they're both bad. Yes, there's a reason they're both 24.
Yeah.
All right, Justin, what's your pick, my friend?
Well, yeah, so here's the perspective I'm going to look at it. So I rewatched just about all of these episodes, and which one did I enjoy more? They're both not good. They're both bad in their way. But I'm going to actually take Sub Rosa, and here's why. So, And the Children Shall Lead, they keep going through these hand gestures and taking people over, and Gorgon is ridiculous. Like, when I watch And the Children Shall Lead, it's like torture. It's really, really difficult to watch it and enjoy it, and it was a struggle to watch the whole thing. Sub Rosa, on the other hand, there's a certain, like, campiness to it that I totally enjoyed. Like, this time around watching it, I actually enjoyed it. So I'm going to have to go with Sub Rosa because I liked watching it more. Even though I recognize it's not very good, I just enjoyed it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's a fair way to judge it, Justin. Absolutely. Yeah, it what about you, Richard? What's your vote?
Oh man, Sub Rosa. I really think it was a mismatch because I actually like And the Children Shall Lead better or more. yeah, I think it should have been matched up with Spock's brain or something like that. But yeah, especially when you go up against something like Sub Rosa. Yeah, I had to switch teams on this one.
All right, we got the swing vote there.
We're one big Star Trek team on this one, Richard. Don't worry, because there's going to be some flips right, both I'm ways. Sure trust me. Oh yeah.
All right, Amy. I guess at this point your vote doesn't matter.
It's a moot point.
But what would you vote for?
Well, listening to what each of you had to say, Zach, I really do agree with you that Sub Rosa is uncomfortable. But then I keep thinking, but it's a different life form. And it's, you know, we call it a ghost, but it is a different entity. But then listening to Justin, I do enjoy Sub Rosa. So I'm going to have to go with Sub Rosa.
All right.
Fair enough.
So TOS wins 3-2 the first round. I like how this is going, Ken.
You're not gonna like the next one.
Oh man.
All right. So the next one, round 23. We call these rounds, I guess. Or I'll call them rounds.
Yeah,
so round 23 is Plato's Stepchildren versus Interface. Plato's Stepchildren is the episode where they find a planet where everyone is influenced by Greek society because they went to Earth once and hung out with Plato for a little bit, and they call themselves Plato's Children for some reason. Basically, they had a lot of Greek props in the prop room, and they decided to use those. But they have telekinetic powers, and they force the crew to do ridiculous things to each other. But it does have the historical significance of the first interracial kiss. So let's not forget that. Interface is an episode where we meet Geordi's parents, his mom and his dad. So also we get to see LeVar Burton without a visor, which is cool. In classic Star Trek fashion, all's not what it seems. An alien is masquerading as his mom to further its own ends. So I think those are some pretty balanced summaries, guys, if you ask me, for each episode. Ken, you go first. Plato Cell Children or Interface? Which did you pick of these two?
Interface by about a million. Yeah, maybe two. You're right about the significance of the first interracial kiss. It doesn't take away from the bigotry towards little people, smaller people. It's horrible. I can't watch that episode. I try, and I am embarrassed for the actors even performing it and what that's all I have to say. I'm moving on. Yep. Interface by a lot. Sorry.
Yeah, I have to agree. Interface is, you know, it's boring. I think it's in my opinion, I just think it's a little boring as an episode. But I do like seeing, you know, the extended family of the crew. It's a miscriticism I give it. Geordi is a character who is really underdeveloped throughout the 7 years, so it's nice to see something from his life. And then again, seeing LeVar Burton without the visor is cool. I'm sure he enjoyed that because, you know, he has very expressive eyes, and it's cool to see his face for a change. Play to Sell Children, although they try to say, hey, look, aren't we inclusive in the Federation? We're not going to, you know, persecute you because you're small. And then they end the episode with some joke about, hey, Scotty, we got a little surprise for you. And it's like, oh, way to undercut your whole point, Star Trek. So plus all the ridiculous, like Kirk running around like a horse and Spock tap dancing. It's frankly embarrassing. And my vote is for Interface.
Oh, I got to go see a counselor now.
Wait, there's one here.
There we go. Problem solved. So, Richard or Justin or Amy, we'll stick to the order that we've been going.
We should mix it up.
We should go. Like, we should go backwards.
Yeah. Yes, because we don't want Amy to always be like, "Sorry, Amy, your book."
Thank you.
Right? Unless you're
the speaker. Yeah, we'll flip it. So, we'll flip it the other way for the next.
Yes, one. Yes. So, Amy, let's do it that way. Interface or Sub Rosa? Or I have a child.
Are we going to release the papers of this show?
This is the show, my friend. This is... So, Amy, Plato's Children or Interface?
Well, it's going to have to be Interface. You are right about what you said about Plato's Stepchildren. And I was embarrassed watching them. I felt so bad for the actors, and I was like, is this really what I'm seeing? Interface, I sort of like the mystery about, well, what really is happening? Is it Geordi's mom or not? So.
All right. Another vote for Interface. Richard, what's your vote?
As much as I hate Interface, I'm going to have to go with Interface. Yeah, because I'm in the same boat with you, Zach. I got bored with it, and yeah, it's a very boring story. But I mean, if you're comparing it to like Plato's Stepchildren, yeah, there's no way.
All right, there it is, Justin. There it is. Thank you, Richard. Justin, is it going to be a clean sweep for Interface?
Well, I want to say a couple things. So first of all, for Plato's Stepchildren, absolutely, it is so agonizing to watch the actors go through all of the stuff that they're forced to do. It is the first interracial kiss, but they're being forced to do so, and Kirk whips Uhura later, which is so bad. But also, I mean, I do appreciate some of what they were trying to do. Like, they're telling Alexander that in the Federation, it doesn't matter, you know, what size or shape you are, you know, we treat you equally. So I like that, and there's an important message there. But it's very difficult to watch. For Interface, it's not the best episode, but I think it's kind of interesting. I like that there's the idea of this probe on this other ship, and that Geordi can control it and feel things that are going on. I think that's really cool. And seeing his mother and his father is interesting. So, yeah, it's going to be a clean sweep with Interface.
All right, clean sweep. You don't get bonus points for a clean sweep, but TNG does win this round. so we're tied 1-1. TNG TOS. All right, Ken, you feeling the heat now? They're catching up to us, man.
I feel no heat.
We got a long way to go. All right, so round 22. Let me say one last thing. I was honestly surprised Interface was that low. Like, it's just kind of a middle of the road episode. I'm shocked it was that low on the rankings.
Trek Ranks does.
Yeah, Plato's the worst in my opinion.
Well, this is specifically to Trek Ranks, so it's interesting the way that that Jim Morehouse does his rankings. I agree with some, but maybe not others. But that's what we're going by.
That's what we're here.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Justin, about what you said about Alexander being, you know, everybody's equal or whatever. And then what does Kirk say when they're being?
Oh yeah, he totally undercuts it. But if I take it just from that moment, there's something good there.
You know? I'm with you.
Can't just delete it.
That's what I mean. The whole thing is a dichotomy.
But I just wanted to put it because I was appreciating certain like elements, but it's terrible overall.
If anybody's going to find the good in anything, it's Justin. And I mean that as a compliment. You have a way of pulling out the things and really dissecting. It's a great skill to have. That was one of the things that really bothered me is this nice speech. And then at the end, it's like, hey, we're going to cut you down. No pun intended.
So our next round, 22, The Empath versus The Eye of the Beholder. The Empath is the episode where Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, shocking, I know those three characters, get kidnapped by aliens who want to study... basically empathy. They use an empathic alien to who can heal and all this stuff, and they put the crew through tests, and it's classic TOS. We have a superior alien testing the crew and empathy for each other. Eye of the Beholder is an episode where it starts off with pretty strong with a crewman committing suicide in a warp. I guess it's the cell.
Yeah, cell tube, they say. Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty intense stuff for Star Trek. Throughout the episode, Troy and Worf are doing an investigation. Things really start to spin out of control. And at the end, you realize that the whole episode had been just in this one moment of Troy and Worf's investigation. There's a certain point where everything is in her imagination because she like kills Worf. And it's just some crazy stuff that goes on in this episode. And it's very Worf and Troy heavy. So your mileage may vary depending on what your attitude towards their relationship is. So that is... the two summaries of those two episodes. Should I go first, Ken, or should
I? Why don't you let Amy go first and we'll go back the other way?
Oh, like completely. Oh, okay, do the snake. That's, look at this guy. He's smart. So, Amy, what's your pick?
Okay.
The Empath or Eye of the Beholder?
Well, I'm going to have to surprise and go with the Empath.
Dun, dun, dun.
I just watched it and I really enjoyed it and I felt like it very cerebral. And I thought it was very Star Trek-y to me. So I'm going that had a very good Trek story and a very good Trek theme. So I'm going to go with The Empath.
All right. Okay. Yeah. It's we got a swing vote. Feels good. Richard, these two episodes, which do you pick?
You know, I actually like The Empath, but I also like The Eye of the Beholder. I would agree with Amy that The Empath is a very Star Trek-y story, and I would agree. I would actually say the same thing for The Eye of the Beholder, mainly because it's all over the place. You don't know what's going on, especially if you're a first time, first time you ever watch this episode. So I am going to go with The Eye of the Beholder. So, because I like that one more.
All right. 1-1.
Okay.
Richard.
Yep.
Thank you. Justin, what's your pick?
Let's see. So for The Empath, I actually struggle a lot with this episode. I mean, for a couple of things. I mean, like, so they go to this planet, but it's kind of like it's a stage play and they don't really have much like built in the set. So that takes me out of it. But I won't knock it for that. It's just something.
It's called expressionist, Justin. It's a creative choice.
It's called reduced budget in the third season. But I won't knock it too much for that. But like, I find it really uncomfortable to watch where there's this woman who's empathic and has difficulty really communicating to Kirk, Spock, and McCoy what's going on. And she's kind of being taken advantage of. These aliens have this like weird test for her. So I struggle with it and have a lot of difficulty. Where on the other hand, I like the Eye of the Beholder a lot, and I always have, because I think that just seeing, you know, them play with the different elements of reality and trying to figure out what's going on here, and even rewatching it and knowing what happens. I'd forgotten some points, and I find it really interesting to watch. Although there is a bit of a problem with the episode at the beginning. There's, you know, the guy who says he's going to commit suicide in the nacelle tube. Why don't they just stun him? Like, why does Riker have to come up to him and try to convince him not to jump? They can just stun him and take him away. But anyway, but I do enjoy the Eye of the Beholder a lot, because I think there is an interesting investigation element. I do like Worf and Troy together, so that might color it somewhat, but I'm going to vote for Eye of the Beholder.
All right. There's their Earl Grey tallies there. So I guess I'm next. So for me, I do not like Worf and Troy together. Worf and Troy is the worst thing since Chakotay and Seven of Nine, in my opinion. But that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, we'll table that for now. Mm-hmm.
Although, I will say this. I do like Imzadi 2 Triangle by Peter David. It kind of wraps off.
Yes, it does.
Very good. So is a book into all this? I'm like, okay. That makes it a little more palatable.
Well, you probably like Imzadi 2 because it tells you why it doesn't work.
Yes, that's it.
No, but I like the relationship, but I love that book anyway because it's really great. But
nope.
So that being said, that alone kind of sinks Eye of the Beholder for me. It just, you know, for me, I do enjoy the empath for, and yes, there's no sets, but it really does show a good bond between Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, and it's a lot of the best episodes of TOS do. So my vote is for the empath, especially when they're all trying to, like, okay, they know the next, this particular scene where they know the next guy they take might die, right? And so they're all trying to, like, be the guy who does it. And then, like, you know, Spock thinks he's going to do it, but McCoy, but it's almost like in Wrath of Khan where, like, you know, Spock, you know, he neck pitches McCoy to go in to save the ship. On this one, like, McCoy hypos Spock, you know, to be the guy who gets sacrificed in his mind. He thinks being sacrificed. So that just shows the bond of friendship, is even though these guys, they barb each other a lot, you know, and that's something they focus on beyond too, even though they have their barbs, you know, that they do care about each other and they love each other in their own way. So this is just a great episode that shows the bond between these three guys. And that's why my vote goes for the empath. That puts it over the top for me.
It is episodes. When you're talking, I'm like, oh, I want to say this, but we're really short on time. I know, but I have to agree completely. And we should talk about the empath more.
Cool. Well, we'll put that on the schedule for another episode. Kid.
Yeah. So yeah, that's fine. So it's funny. So we should talk about it more. And I think one of the reasons why we need to talk about it more is because I don't know where I heard it, if it was at a convention or somebody speaking, but the empath is what developed Ilea and then Troy, as far as Star Trek, right? This is where it all came from. And that was kind of why after hearing that and rewatching it so many times for the last, well, for as long as some of you even been alive, it's scary. It's one of those episodes too, as a kid, I always felt very sorry for her, very sad. It really played with me emotionally. And what the reason I like it more than Eye of the Beholder is just, I don't do well with different realities, different timelines. That's not my thing. And it's just a personal thing. I don't like it when Star Trek does that. I don't like it when they play around with it. I don't like the tricks that are involved in those types of episodes. And I mean, it was a fine episode overall. It's just not a personal, it's not a personal favorite context. When they go and do all that stuff, I just shut down. I go, oh, it's a game, it's a trick, it's whatever. And that's why I struggle with so many Voyager episodes, right? Because they're always playing around with that stuff. But anyway, Empath, though, just because of its historical significance to two key characters that were developed in Star Trek as time went on.
And as I understand it, it was DeForest Kelley's favorite episode. As well. So there you go. That should be the deal breaker. So TOS wins that round. We're up 2-1, Ken. So keeping a close eye on the scoreboard. So moving on to the next round.
I thought we were trying to stay neutral there, but I guess not.
Come on, I'm rooting for TNG, you guys should come out on top
the same
too.
Thing. Yeah, come on. We got to stick to your team. So round 21, the Lights of Zatar.
It's one big team to me.
One big happy fleet. One timeline, one team.
Generations, remember? Hugs. Anyway.
Round 21, the Lights of Zatar versus Bloodlines. The Lights of Zatar, this.
Come on, give an objective summary.
You see, you guys can't see it listening, but I've completely changed my posture now. I'm being serious. So the Lights of Zaytar, there's an alien cloud of energy beings who travel around the galaxy, and they take over a lieutenant who is Scotty's love interest in this episode, and it becomes a conflict because they need to purge it from her body. We also get to see Memory Alpha this episode, which has become a huge thing in Trek fandom, because it's whenever we're talking about Trek stuff, like, oh, let me go check Memory Alpha now, the website, the accumulation of all collective knowledge in the galaxy. So some interesting concepts in this episode. Bloodlines, not to be confused with Firstborn, from TNG. Bloodlines, we find out Picard has a son, or does he? And we have a returning character in Damon Bock, even though he's played by a different actor, which just bothered me. I like the continuity, the callback to season one. So you get Picard struggling with the fact, oh, am I a father? Am I, you know, this is a big deal for me. I never thought I'd had a son. So there are lots of, you know, things that go along with whole Picard's whole family, kids thing throughout his history in that episode. So those are the two episodes. I think those are fair, nice, collected summaries. I'm glad Ken will be going first on this one, because I want to hear what he says, and that'll help influence my vote. So who are you voting for, Ken?
I'm voting for Bloodlines, and I'll tell you why. For me, TNG, even though I'm actually kind of surprised this is ranked as low as it is, I didn't like it when it turned out that he wasn't actually his son, but I love seeing Spoilers. Picard relate. Yeah, whatever.
We're going to assume if you're listening to this, you've seen all these episodes.
Like 50 times, because you're listening to a Trek podcast. Anyway, it just, for me, that part of Picard is my favorite type of TNG. I love seeing the captain become more humanistic, become, you know, not in the sense of what is defined today, but just being more of a real person and down to earth. And I thought it was very humbling just watching that. The Lights of Zaytar was okay. It was never one of my top episodes either, for good reason. That's, you know, just as a quick summary, that is why I went with Bloodlines.
All right. As for me, I'm going to go with Bloodlines as well. It's a little, much like Interface, I'm surprised it's so low. I mean, it's kind of a middle of the road episode. Nothing really wrong with it to be so low, but I did like the continuity with season one, bring back Damon Bock. It's one of the best season one episodes, The Battle. That's true, but they got the same actor. The same actor came back in season three as a different Ferengi. So he had his number, guys, I don't understand. But Lights of Zaytar, you know, I was kind of joking about the summary, like, what do I say about it? I know it's our friend Brandon Shamatel is one of his favorite episodes. He loves talking about that. It's one of those season three episodes you're like, really creepy moment in it, I'll give it props, is when they go to Memory Alpha and they beam down and the woman has like the weird face and the voice come out. It's like, that is creepy stuff. I give it credit for that.
It's a weird voice.
Yeah, I can't even do it. But anyway. But, you know, and Scotty has a love interest, so it's good to see him always have more to do than just, you know, sit in the center seat when the big three are gone, or just say, I'm giving it all, she's Scott Captain. Like, he has a little more to do in this. That's nice. But that being said, my vote is for Bloodlines. How about you, Justin? What's your pick?
Let's see here. Okay, so let me talk about Bloodlines first, actually, because, you know, I rewatched it today, and I really didn't enjoy it. I have a very different opinion than you and Ken do on it, and for a couple of reasons. So, you know, first of all, having this episode where it seems like Picard has a son, but he really doesn't, I just have trouble with that, and it kind of takes away some of the impact. Also, I have some issues with the performance for Jason Vigo. It doesn't feel like it really, like, works or connects with me. And I just found myself, you know, during, and also, you know, I really loved the first season episode, The Battle, with Damon Bock originally, but I didn't feel it was necessary to bring him back 6 years later and to have this weird plot that's so easily kind of foiled at the end. So I actually struggled with it today, and I really didn't enjoy Bloodlines. Now, the Lights of Zaytar, I have some issues with that episode because, you know, they keep referring to Lieutenant Romaine, who's Scotty's love interest, as the girl, and they would never do that to a male officer, or I don't know any other female officers that they've done that for. But so I have some issues with that. But I think this concept that there are these life forms that are trying to, I don't know what it is exactly. They're trying to find some way to be connected with a being and see things. It kind of reminded me of the TNG episode Power Play, where there's these imprisoned beings that try to take over others. So I could see it as an influence on that, and I really like that episode. And I think there's just some interesting like concepts, and it actually kind of it caught my attention when I rewatched it. So I'm going to make Brandon Shematala happy and vote for The Lights of Xatar. I enjoyed it more.
There we go.
So we have two Santa Rosa votes for the TNG episode.
Well said, Justin.
Thanks.
Oh yeah, that's a great summary. Thank you. I apologize for my off the cuff flippancy in my initial, but you know, I think I give it a fair summary after all. But those are all good points, Justin. We have two Santa Rosa votes for TNG episode, and we have one Earl Grey vote for TOS. So Richard, are you going to continue the trend of the flip here or no?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bloodlines on this one.
So he said yes, no. But then he said no.
What was that?
I'm sorry.
This guy. It's the second time. It's the second time you've done that. Now I'm listening much closer than watching.
I don't know. I just never got into The Lights of Xatar. It just wasn't my episode. I mean, it's not. I'm going to agree with you guys on Bloodlines. It's one of those mediocre episodes. Not the best, but it's not the worst either. And I was actually surprised that it was this far down too. And I didn't even think we were going to even discuss it. It's been a long time since I've seen Bloodlines, but it's just I thought it was a better story. So yeah, sorry.
Fair enough.
Lines for Richard. Amy, what's your vote?
Well, not that it matters, but
your opinion always matters.
Does to us.
Yes, your opinion matters.
Well, it's funny, and this might happen a couple other times as I'm looking through the list. Like, there's episodes that I forget, and these are two episodes that I just completely forget. And so when that happens, I'm going to go with my TNG roots and choose Bloodlines.
All right, Bloodlines. So Bloodlines wins 4-1. But Justin, you did a good argument for Lights of Xatar, my friend.
You're welcome. You're welcome, good. Brandon Shematala.
You're your best friend now.
Well, we disagree about a lot of stuff, but we agree about this one, I think.
There you go.
Though he probably puts it a lot higher on his list. I think it's like his third favorite in TOS.
It is. Yeah. It's a. We're no one's going
say
for.
It's my third favorite, but I liked it.
Oh, if Bichet's here, it would be upside down. The worst 12 would be the best 12. It's just
we love.
He has a view like no others. It's what makes him so fascinating to me. Yes.
Oh boy. So moving on to round 20, The Way to Eden versus Masks. The Way to Eden is the episode where these space hippies take over the Enterprise, but they're looking for Eden. They're looking, you know, much like Star Trek V. They're looking for, you know, the beginning of all life and the creation and all that. So the Enterprise gets hijacked, which happens a lot in TOS, and they get taken to this planet, and they find out that it's actually a poisonous planet, lethal to, you know, the grass burns and the plants are poisoned. So it's one of these, you know, bait and switches. Like, it does exist. They found it, but we shouldn't have gone there because it's lethal to you. So you can never go back to the Garden of Eden is the moral of that story. And then in Masks, the Enterprise D finds a comet, and it slowly takes over the ship, transforming into this mythological battle between Masaka and the moon god, whose name escapes me. Somebody jump in. What's the moon god's name?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't remember. There was a lot of names.
Yeah.
Thank you. I feel much better now that I don't remember. But anyway, Brent Spiner, a tour de force performance. He plays like, you know, 10 characters in this episode and does a great job. So that it's a fun one. Whenever you see Brent Spiner play multiple roles, it's a lot of fun. And you see that, you know, just the ship transform as well. So they got that going on. They got to save Data and save the ship and reverse everything. So that's Way to Eden versus Masks. Amy, you're our first vote. Which are you voting
for? All right.
For?
I really get upset when people say they don't like Masks because I really enjoy it. Number one, it's memorable. You say Masks and people know what it is. And I enjoy seeing Brent Spiner act all these different characters. It's sort of the one-man show here, and I'm totally fine with that. I like the ending where the sun and the moon are chasing each other, and so we get that astrological feel to it. I really enjoy Masks, and The Way to Eden, it was just okay for me, but because I really enjoy Masks, I'm going with Masks.
All right.
There it is.
There it is. Richard, what's your vote?
MASS is one of those episodes that I really don't like. Within the TNG universe, granted, you know, Brent Spiner does a great job. He's great, and you know, in different characters and everything. But when you compare it to The Way of Eden, yeah, it's gonna be MASS. I know.
You did it again. Unbelievable.
All right,
stop telling us why you hate something.
I
know, right?
hate this one, evil. But I hate this one over here more.
I just can't hit it goodness. Hard enough.
I hope you're not kicking that puppy under the desk, are you?
Funny
Come on now,
right
be nice.
I've got a bat right next to me.
Oh my gosh!
No, we do not condone.
No animal was harmed
in the making of this podcast.
Oh boy. All right. So we have two picks from Mass so far. Now, Justin, are you going to give us an impassioned defense of The Way to Eden?
Well, let's see. So for Mass, by the way, I looked it up, the moon god is Qorgano.
Oh, yes.
Of course. Corgano.
Yeah. And I'm like Amy. I like Masks a lot. I think Brent Spiner gives some great performances. It's kind of, you know, hypnotizing to watch him play these characters. I like how the ship is being transformed. And that there was this prior civilization that wanted to give their knowledge. I think it's really cool what happens in Masks. Now, The Way to Eden, I actually love this episode. and I know that a lot of people don't like it, but let me tell you why I love this episode, and I'm going to pick it over Masks. So the reason, I think for a lot of people, they see this episode, it's kind of ridiculous. This was made to, you know, make fun of hippies or try to, you know, marginalize what they were trying to do in the 60s. And that there's some, you know, it's just kind of a strange story. But I love it for a couple of reasons. I actually love the music that they put in it, that these space hippies are playing. I'm totally into, you know, 60s music and the feel and the style. I just love it. And it kind of, I don't know, makes things lively on the Enterprise. And people are like, you know, getting along to the music. But also, I can identify with them looking for a simpler life that has less technology. Now, my life has a lot of technology in it, but I really can appreciate and sympathize with wanting to get to a simpler life. And the tragic ending is very sad for me. So, other than that, they need to have more security and auxiliary control, so the ship can't be taken over from there. I love the episode through and through. It's probably actually one of my favorites in season 3 of TOS. So I'm going to have to go with The Way to Eden.
All right.
I might be the only vote, but I'm going to go for it.
So Way to Eden, I do like how Spock connects to the to the hippies.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's very in character for him, like, because he's out of, you know, he himself has felt like he doesn't belong. So that in his life being human and Vulcan, so that's a cool.
And he was kind of like a 60s, and Spock was kind of like a 60s counterculture icon, right?
Yes, exactly. So the same people gravitated towards. You know, he's putting on a concert with them. You know, so he gravitates towards those characters who are representing the counterculture of the 60s. I think, you know, the fact that the guy was a sound scientist, you know, and used that against the crew, that was a pretty cool, you know, aspect of the episode as well. That said, I really like Masks. Joe Manosky comes up with some crazy stories, and this is another, like, completely off the wall. What if we turned the Enterprise into Legends of the Hidden Temple, right? It's like, sure, yeah, Joe, but it works, you know, and it's just one of those really out of the box stories that's really enjoyable. And as you guys had said, memorable. So of these two, although Way to Eden gets a lot of flack, like, oh, the hippie episode, there's some substance there that people overlook because they can't see past the whole veneer of the trappings of the 60s. But my vote, even so, my vote is going to go with Masks. So that brings it to you, Ken. What's your vote, my friend?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Both episodes, I liked them both. And I would respectfully say they weren't trying to marginalize hippies. There were a lot of problems in those days of the occult. You had the Mansons. You had a lot of people following the people. And it was Hare Krishna. All those things back then were huge. And people were worried about that. And back in the 60s and 70s, you would see those folks much more than you did today. And I think it was more of a fear of that generation falling into those traps. And I think that was the message they were trying to get across. Not so much that hippies, which were kind of, you know, peace loving, this, that, and all that other stuff.
I'm saying, I think some people had perceived it that way, but I don't think that that's correct. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough. Then I misunderstood what you were saying. But that was kind of, you know, those were the message that I was getting out of it. I just thought it was a fun episode. Mass was a good episode, though. I did enjoy it, and I love Minoski in general. This one was a tougher one. I'm really listening to the passion that Justin sold it, and that's what kind of had me go the other way towards Eden.
All right, Eden for Ken, but TNG wins the day with 3-2.
Hey, but I could. They I do convince again. Ken on the way to Eden, so that's a victory for me.
It's good. Justin's got a little Brandon in him, Ken. He's got.
Well, you know what I love about the Justin, how long have you been into Star Trek?
Well, I guess it depends on how you define it. I mean, the first time I really saw Star Trek was almost 30 years ago, but I really became a fan in the last, I would say, 9 or 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, I've been a fan for 40 some odd years, right? And it's different when you hear somebody looking at it from a new lens, a fresher lens, and really deep into it. I mean, you're reading all the books, you're watching all the episodes. A lot of this stuff, I'm going back on memory, although I had to go back and watch more of the TNG stuff because I'd watch more of Standard Orbit recently just because we do this podcast about it and it's kind of draws you there. But I do appreciate the lens and the views that you bring on things because it's just fresh.
Yes, for sure. That's what's great about having all five of us here. We all have different takes on it. So
yeah.
So round 19, the Mark of Gideon versus Liaisons. The Mark of Gideon, the planet is suffering from overpopulation. So they kidnap Captain Kirk onto an exact duplicate of the Enterprise, which would take up a lot of space, I think, if you're overpopulated on your planet. That's a thought.
Yep.
But then Liaisons, we have three alien ambassadors that there's three of them, right?
Yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think there's three of them.
Because okay. I distinctly remember two of them, but the third one I always forget about. But there's three alien ambassadors that come across the Enterprise. Picard gets isolated with one of them. And the other ones are on the Enterprise, causing mischief and a lot of comedy through their behavior as well, especially their interactions with Worf. So those are basically the two. That's the gist of these two episodes. Of Ken, of these two, who would you vote for? Which would you vote for?
I'm going to say the Mark of Gideon. Here's the reason why. It was because as a kid when I watched it, right. Liaisons was, again, I can't believe this is listed as a bad episode, you know, like this level. It's somewhere in the mid-range. But Mark of Gideon, to me, was extraordinarily clever, and it scared the heck out of me. And it had an indelible stamp on my head from when I was a kid. And, you know, the view screen and all the people looking in, and they're looking out at it. And it just, you know, there was a lot of things going on back in that timeline about fears of just that exact same thing. You know, the cities were overpopulated, pollution thing. And you know, the whole idea of going in and introducing a virus to knock down a lifespan, I thought was also very, very clever in its writing and its creativity. Its execution wasn't as smooth as it could have been, but in kind of the Federation and Starfleet trying to figure out who's going to do what, it was also just kind of an odd thing, but overall it was because of that personal stamp that it left on me. Liaisons just was a good episode to me, but it didn't have an impact like that, and Gideon always had. That's why.
As for me, this was a tougher one because these are both kind of middle of the road episodes in my opinion. There's some ridiculous things on each side for each episode. There's the, you guys can hear it, there comes the Orient Express again. But Mark of Gideon, I'm like, okay, when I'm on the fence, I'm like, it's like, I love TNG, but I'm a TOS host, so should I go with TOS? The Mark of Gideon, there is some creepy stuff in there. It actually reminded me of Twilight Zone, where Kirk's looking out the window and sees something. Reminds me of a Nightmare at 20,000 feet out the window. But of the two, honestly, I'm going to go with Liaisons because I enjoyed it. To your point, Justin, what did I enjoy watching more? I enjoyed Liaisons. I enjoyed the ambassadors giving Worf a hard time, right, on the ship. And, like, that was fun to watch. And, you know, even Picard with his – what's that movie with Kathy Bates? Misery, right? Yeah. Like the card that's like the card in that movie stuck on the planet. So I enjoy those scenarios and that we get with the liaison. So of the two, I'm going to go with the liaisons. So Justin, what's your pick?
Yeah, so first about the Mark of Gideon. I mean, I understand they were trying to address overpopulation, but there's kind of this ridiculous idea, like the planet is so overpopulated that people are just like basically jiggling around in place because they don't have enough room. Like you would have outstripped your resources long before you got to that point. So there's something that's like a little bit, and their plan to like introduce a virus, like you might as well just like, you know, go Kodos the Executioner style and just like kill off half of the people or something. Like a virus with all that suffering. I mean, there was just something like totally bizarre about this episode that I really don't enjoy it. Liaisons, on the other hand, I do enjoy for the most part because, as you said, Zach, there's, you know, this guy who's this glutton for food and somebody else who's being rude to Worf, and he has to really, you know, struggle to... And there's this thing with Picard on the planet where they're pretending to be this woman who's falling in love with him. So I think there's a lot of interesting things that are going on in the episode, although, of course, they're... methods are, we would think, are extremely unethical and bizarre, but I find myself really enjoying the episode, so I'll have to go with liaisons.
All right, liaisons for Justin. Richard, what's your pick?
All right, I'm not gonna do it to you again, Amy. I'm gonna pick the Mark of Gideon. I like both of these episodes. They're not terrible, but they're not great. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Mark of Gideon. So Amy?
All right. So, Amy, the swing vote. It comes down to you. Right. Your vote does matter, Amy. So, of these two episodes, what's your choice?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the enjoyment factor and go with liaisons. I really enjoy when Star Trek takes a look at just like one part of a personality trait. And so we get to see that, you know, where the one who's with Troy is all about enjoyment and the one who's with Worf is the one who's combative. And, you know, the one who's with Picard, they're trying to understand love. Like isolating those characteristics really gets to, you know, analyze how each of those emotions play in our lives. And so for those reasons, I choose liaisons.
All right, there it is. TNG wins 3-2, liaisons over the Mark of Gideon. Moving on.
Can I ask Amy a question? Amy, is this the Emperor or the Queen speaking?
Queen.
Okay. All right. So the Emperor's votes has us as a tie.
No. TNG's up 4-2.
Well, I thought we were going to pay attention to this.
Oh, great.
Every once in a while, I'm going to
back in the day when TOS was up.
It's not about winning or losing. It's about having fun.
It's not about that, but I'll just let people know that's what it's
about. Thank you for the score update, Justin.
Well, I bet you could screenshot this spreadsheet and throw it up there on the Babel conference.
We should. That'll be fun.
We'll post the link in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So, round 18, Spock's brain versus Emergence. Spock's brain, of course, Spock's brain gets stolen, and the crew has to find it. There's a underground society of women who are technologically advanced, and there's an above ground society of men who are not. And the crew has to get Spock's brain back into Spock. And there's also a remote control Spock through the episode because he has a brain. And McCoy has to control him with a remote control.
Temperature controlled suit.
72 degrees, I think, right?
72 degrees.
I would set mine for like 65. That's just me. But anyway, Emergence is an episode where the Enterprise D computer becomes self-aware. But it's also, there's an alien. I kind of ask you guys this as we talk about it. I wasn't sure if like it was the ship that evolved or they passed through something and that like sparked the ship to evolve into its own entity. But it creates all kinds of, especially the holodeck is what this kind of centers on. We were joking earlier about the train coming through my house and stuff. This is where they find, you know, we talk about TOS getting the prop room. This is TNG getting the prop room. We got a knight, we got a cowboy, we got all kinds of crazy stuff going on this train. And this is the near the end of the show. So it's them kind of like saying, look, we've been through all these experiences, but the Enterprise has also been through these experiences, and this is its legacy it's leaving as a life form. So that's the gist of those two episodes. And so, Amy, you're going to lead us off. Who do you vote for in these two?
Okay, this one was really tough because thanks to Standard Orbit, when we did our Spock's brain and the one with Riker.
Riker's brain.
I really came to appreciate Spock's brain. And Emergence, I just sort of feel like is okay. It's not one of my favorites. And the whole idea of the Enterprise becoming this life form, I mean, intriguing as it may be, I don't think they handled it very well. So I'm going to go with my gut on this and just go Spock's brain.
All right, TOS vote. Let's go to you, Richard. Who are you voting for in these two episodes?
Just straight off the bat. I'm not a fan of Spock's brain at all. I honestly thought it was a terrible, 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 terrible episode. It's actually my number one, like, worst TOS episode, period. So... yeah.
All right. Well, then you're definitely not going to be voting for it. Not. Understood. All right.
So, Richard, what are you trying to say?
I hate it.
All right. So, Emergence is Richard's pick. Justin, of these two episodes, what's your pick?
Well, for Spock's brain, you know, every time that I've seen it, I've loved it and enjoyed it because it's so ridiculous. Like, they've stolen his brain. Also, this may hold...
He's worse than dead. His brain is gone.
His brain is gone. He could only survive this number of hours. No, I think he'd be dead. But anyway, so, and this may hold the record for the episode of Star Trek that mentions the episode title the most times. I looked in the transcript. 15 times somebody says Spock's brain. So they keep saying Spock's brain, Spock's wow. brain. Where is Spock's brain? Brain? What is brain? I mean, it's so ridiculous, but I enjoy it because it's just so over the top and ridiculous. Now, Emergence is an episode I also love because it is one of those crazy Minoski episodes. The Enterprise computer becomes sentient. It's working out this problem on the holodeck. I love that the train scene where you see, you know, the knight and the gangster and the engineer and all the different the different people, and when they kind of go out on the street and they're trying to figure something out with the brick and Data has to hold up the cab. I don't know what it is because it's kind of ridiculous as well, but I love Emergence through and through. It's probably one of my favorites in season 7. And even though I love Spock's brain, it's just a little too ridiculous. So I'm going to go with Emergence.
Just a point on that.
Yeah.
Was it just the computer? Because that's something, or is it something that they passed through that kind of influenced the computer? That's something that I was never 100%.
I think it might be a little unclear in the episode whether some seed was planted there or it's just gotten to a certain level of complexity that's doing this, which would be very worrisome. But, you know, I really don't know. It's a good question. I'd have to pay attention to that. But whatever the cause, I just love what happens in the episode.
All right. Well, that's... Emergence for Justin. Now it's my turn. This is a tough one. I obviously Spock's brain is a ridiculous episode. Emergence is also kind of ridiculous in its own, and it is TNG way, you know. So just for the pure rewatchability, I'm gonna go with Emergence because I like the mishmash of everything on the holodeck. It's a lot of fun. And you see, like you said, the brick and the taxi and all these weird images in classic Joe Manosky ways. Like those are things that stick with you, you know, that are cool. And it's not, look, I don't think Spock's brain is as bad as a lot of people say. A lot of people say it's the worst episode of Star Trek.
I don't think it's the worst.
But at the same time, it is a little embarrassing. I certainly wouldn't show it to anyone who is unfamiliar with Star Trek. And I would, you know, Emergence, if somebody wants to see just a standard episode of Star Trek, I wouldn't feel like kind of like secondhand embarrassment watching it with them. Yeah. So that's going to put Emergence over the top for me. So I'm going TNG.
A little side note, Colin Higgins' first Star Trek episode was Spock's brain, and he still became a Star Trek fan.
Well, there you go. There's the exception that proves the rule. I don't know. But oh, man, good for you, Colin, for sticking in there. So, Ken, what's your vote?
So I'll have no impact on this at all. But I'm going with brain, and here's why. Emergence, I didn't like it. I just, for whatever reason, when I don't care if it's TOS, TNG, any of the movie, any of the shows start going towards the ship becoming lifelike and all these things flashing before you. It's fascinating. It's creative. My mind doesn't work that way. I didn't like it at all. And Spock's brain is legendary for being horrible. And I've grown to love it over the years. And it started with our first podcast that I did with Norm and Jeff. And that's how we kind of launched 2.0 as Standard Orbit. And since that time, I've just had a completely different view of it. It's been a hell of a lot more fun for me. It's so bad, it's good. And there are certain things that I'll watch that are just absolutely awful. And I'll laugh my, you know what, off watching it. And that's what Spock's brain has become to me. A show that used to be embarrassed to talk about in TOS circles to something that it's like, come on, man, that's funny right there. You know, that is really funny right there. And that's why it is now entertaining. I will not avoid it. I will watch it when it's on now. So it's just where I've come from the last couple of years and having fun with it. Like we've had once with you guys. And like I said, on one of our inaugural podcasts for Standard Orbit. So.
All righty. Well, TNG wins that round 3-2. I feel like we're in a good pattern here, guys. I'm liking the flow. So we're going to move on to round 17. The Paradise Syndrome versus Phantasms. The Paradise Syndrome is the episode where Kirk gets amnesia, gets marooned on a planet inhabited by Native Americans who've been put there by the preservers. He assumes the identity of Kirok, takes a wife, and then the crew has to destroy an asteroid from hitting that planet and then also save Kirk as well. Phantasms is the episode where Data's dream program goes a lot out of control. Sailor peptide cake, everybody knows that. Troy is the cake. Riker with a straw out of his head.
I can tell what Kenneth thinks about this one.
It would have been frosting. It turns out the parasites from a warp core replacement have infected the ship, and Data is processing all this in his dreams. So Picard and Geordi go inside of dreams to solve the problem. So, Ken, your vote, my friend, of these two, which do you pick?
Well, you know, it's funny because this is the first time we've got something a little bit flipped here. I'm not sure why Paradise Syndrome is on this part of the list. I am sure why Phantasms is. Ooh. Okay. And Phantasms is one of my all-time hated TNG episodes. I can't stand it.
Really? We've never talked about this.
Ken doesn't like weird stuff, it sounds like.
Well, it's not even that. It's just, you know, this is their Spock's brain, in my opinion. And I thought the Paradise Syndrome was a good episode. I thought it was well acted. I liked the plot line to it. I think it showed Kirk, you know, and it's been demonstrated a number of times. And you'll hear from an upcoming podcast too. We talk about it with one of our guests. You know, he really, the way he's portrayed as being a crazy woman, that is not who Kirk is, and I think this episode really shows that, and you know the pain that he suffers at the end of it. I mean, he has a lot of tragedy. Anyway, I really always liked the Paradise Syndrome. I thought it was a well written, well constructed TOS episode. Phantasms, I couldn't get into it at all, and I just that is one that I just never watch anymore.
All right, well, the vote comes to me. Ken, you're going to be disappointed. I've got to go with Phantasms. I love this episode. I love Joe Manosky. Did Joe Manosky write this? I assume that he did, but I might be wrong. Yes. Okay, I just assume that he did. But yeah, the dreamscape. And I love anything they do with Data's dreams. Data's my favorite character. Yep. So I love all that. And it's the surrealism of it all. It's just going inside and seeing like what represents what. And I just find that very fascinating. And, you know, Paradise Syndrome, I know that Richard has an update. It's Brandon Braga.
Who also wrote some weird stuff, but yeah.
It's some weird stuff. So there
I guess
is.
I could have just said I'm that gonna, versus tell you, yeah.
He could have just said that. He sent us a text, print out only.
Print out only.
New message coming in from subspace.
Oh boy. So I'm sorry to disappoint you, Ken. Paradise Syndrome, it's okay. It just never really struck a chord. I am Kirok and all that. That's iconic. But as far as enjoyment goes, I really do enjoy the journey Phantasms takes us on. So I'm going for them.
Phantasms, it's yeah, it just tells me what it would be like if I ever got on drugs.
All right, Justin, what's your pick?
Well, let me say a few things about Paradise Syndrome first. I think there are some cool aspects of it. There, the time scale, it's over a couple of months, which is really long for a TOS episode. So I think that's cool. I love the stuff on the ship where they're trying to figure out what to do with the asteroid. There's all of this conflict with Spock in command. And I think when you see Spock in command in season three, he's really struggling with it or being a jerk with people. But anyway, it's interesting to see some of that conflict. Now, the stuff on the planet... And it's interesting because I say that it has to do with my enjoyment. And I know that the depiction of, you know, Native Americans and their culture and how they look and how they act and all of that was probably typical for the 60s. But, you know, seeing that now, it just bothers me because it's a very simplistic depiction. It seems like they're very, like they can't even figure out how a shirt works. I mean, there's some weird stuff that doesn't connect with me, even though there's some good stuff in there. Now, Phantasms... Like you, Zach, I love the episode. We must just love weird stuff because I love Data's dreams. I love that there's this weird way that this threat is being expressed to him and all of the stuff that happens. So I just enjoy it through and through. I love Phantasm. It's probably one of my favorites also, so I'm going to vote for Phantasms.
All right. Richard, what's your pick?
Okay, I guess I can go. Even though I just sent that text.
Enough for the printout only. Sorry, right? Just...
sorry, Amy. So I hope you chose this one. So I actually forgot the Paradise Syndrome and actually rewatched it today, and I love that episode. It's great. It's got a great story. I love it. It's all around great. But when you match it up against Phantasms, yeah, there's no way. Phantasms just blew it out of the water. I absolutely love Phantasms, and just to tell you how much I love it, I use maybe 5 or 6 pictures out of them out of that episode for memes. So I love this episode.
I love the meme with Picard's on the phone. It's like, yes, my Android is free data or whatever.
Well, I used the one with Worf eating the mint frosting for birthday messages.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you people?
Well, Amy, are you going to get Ken's respect or his scorn?
Oh, dear. Well, I am actually surprised to see the Paradise Syndrome this high up because I just didn't get it. I don't enjoy the episode at all. I was wondering what is going on. I'll just leave it at that. And Phantasms, that's great. You know, Troy gets to tell Data to continue his dreaming. And then it's sort of this clue thing of what's happening. Why is Data having these dreams? He's an android. He's not supposed to. So we're exploring the humanity through Data that way. And we get to see him actually save the day and, you know, see these things.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I just thought of something that Justin had said, and I don't know what podcast it is. You said this in, but you said one of the scariest moments of Star Trek is when Data stabs Troy in the turbo lift.
Well,
there.
Not exactly. I said one of the scariest moments is when you see that Troy's a cake and he has to take a piece out of it, and Amy and Richard made fun of me, and then I went on to say, okay, well maybe it was the part where he gets stabbed. So. But yeah, I think there is a lot of frightening imagery in there and shocking things that happen. So it freaks me out a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry to cut you off there. What you were saying just clued me into like, oh yeah, that's something that I remember Justin said before. And that's definitely a one that moment alone sticks out. So I'm sorry, Ken, that we all love this weirdness.
Ken thinks that, that we need drug testing for our podcast because we like Phantasms.
You're all out of the woods, all of you.
So, Amy, did you have any final thoughts? I know I cut you off there. I apologize.
Yeah, no. So, I really do enjoy Phantasms for that. Yeah.
All right, there it is. So, Phantasms wins over Paradise Syndrome. I'm sorry, Ken. We will move on. Hopefully, you don't think too lowly of us.
Well, hey, you know, honestly, when four people go one way and say, it's like, I hope you don't feel so bad about me. But in this case, you all need to be.
All right.
This is
horrible,
horrible episode.
All right. So moving on to round 16, we have a Turnabout Intruder. versus Dark Page. Turn About Intruder is the infamous final episode of the original series where an ex-girlfriend of Kirk switches bodies with him so she can become a captain of a starship, which is not allowed. And as far as the third season of TOS, according to Gene Roddenberry, who has writing credit on that episode, just pointing that out. And then we go to Dark Page, which is the episode where Loxana has some repressed memories about Troy's sister who died when she was a child. And but much like, you know, going into Data's brain in Phantasms, Troy has to go into Loxana's brain and Dark Page to solve the conflict there. So, Amy, you're first of these two episodes. Which are you picking?
Well, it will be no surprise. I will go with Dark Page.
Turn About Intruder, of course. Yes.
It's a Troy-centered episode. But really, we get to see Loxana. I think it shows a different side to her. I think it definitely shows loss and how some people deal with it. And the support and build that mother-daughter relationship. I just think Dark Page is very good. So it's going to take my vote.
All righty. Richard, what's your pick?
I don't remember Turn About Intruder.
it's the one where the woman is insane and wants to become a captain because she can't, apparently, and has to switch bodies with Kirk.
Okay.
And then.
Okay, I still don't remember it.
Exactly. That was that terrible. Summary. And I was terrible. Like, yeah, I don't remember
that one. I was like, oh, man, I really wished I'd watched that one instead. But I'm going to have to go with Dark Page. Sorry.
Well, you're probably better off not remembering it. Justin, what's your pick?
Well, you know, I said a bit before, but I think Turnabout Intruder is a terrible episode. It's a terrible idea that somehow women can't be captains that's inserted in this episode, and I choose to ignore that. And every other iteration of Star Trek has chosen to wisely ignore that. It's just a bad idea, and, you know, Kirk is doing all this acting, and you see him, like, filing his nails and doing these things that are supposed to be effeminate. It's just... it's a mess. I really, for me, that's toward the bottom, actually. Dark Page, I didn't appreciate that episode for a while, but went back and rewatched it more recently. And it's a very moving episode about something that's happened in Loxana's life, about this, you know, sister that Troy had, but there was a tragedy that happened. You get to see Troy's father in part of it. I think it's actually a very moving episode, and I'm definitely going to have to vote for Dark Page. Although I would have voted for almost anything over Turnabout Intruder, to tell you the truth.
as for me, I would say this. I would say Turnabout Intruder would not be near as hated had it not been the final episode of the original series. It kind of, much like Spock's brain at the beginning and Turnabout Intruder at the end, like those bookends of the third season are part of the reason it gets the reputation it does. You know, if you just chop those two off and you look at the, you know, the in-between from there, you start with Enterprise Incident and you end with All Our Yesterdays. I'm like, oh, wow, that's a good beginning and ending. So that's what makes it more infamous. Yes, there's some very questionable ideas presented here. And Star Trek has, you know, continued to just, you know, retcon that out of existence as it should. But, I mean, that being said, the Dark Page, definitely a better episode. Star Trek, The Family Reunion continues with more family members we've never met before and whatnot. But this and Half a Life really show that Loxana is like a more three-dimensional character than the joke she was in her first couple of appearances, honestly. So, and we see that through the later episodes of TNG and then DS9. So this is part of that whole just fleshing out of her character to be more three-dimensional. So my vote is for Dark Page. What is your vote, Ken?
Oh, definitely Dark Page. Turnabout Intruder is probably the worst for a couple of reasons. One, I think you pointed it out, Zach, in the very beginning. Roddenberry was involved in this episode. He's the same guy who had a female number one and put women on the bridge. He did all those things. And then he tried to run away from this. And to me, that's like, for whatever reason, they wanted to make that a plot point. It didn't make any sense. And for the record, guys, even the U.S. Navy had female captains in 1966, okay? So I don't understand where that came from at all. The premise of it was ridiculous. The acting piece of it was, I thought, you know, by William Shatner, probably as good as you could do for what he was given. But it was just hard to watch. Dark Page on the other side of it, I thought was a brilliant episode. I really enjoyed it. I think that, you know, Loxana. I always get it wrong, but Mrs. Troy, you know, she always brought a sense of levity, and I thought her character was great because she took sometimes she took a very serious team at times and made it things fun. And in this case, when they spun it around, it was just really emotional, and I thought she did a brilliant job. It wasn't until this character was created, by the way, that I had any idea that that Majel could really act, right? I mean, a lot of the other episodes and shows that she did in TOS and in the movies were very, very small, and you really couldn't get a feel. This character, to me, just showed that this woman had talent and a great range. And this episode, I think, exemplified that. I really like Dark Page.
All right, a clean sweep for Dark Page across the board for TNG. So
yeah, that wasn't a fair setup.
Yeah, some of these matchups make it very questionable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that the dichotomy there is it's Grand Canyon.
So moving on to our next round, number 15, Requiem for Methuselah versus Inheritance. Requiem for Methuselah is the episode where we meet Flint, who it turns out to, he was Michelangelo, he was Brahms, he was this immortal character, immortal person on Earth, who has tried to build an android mate for himself who can live as long as he does. And to awaken emotion in her, he exposes her to Captain Kirk. Hopefully his charm can spark. There we go. Spark emotion in his android creation. He did not have it to that point. Interestingly enough, Inheritance is about Data's mother, so to speak, who turns out to be an android created by Dr. Soong, but is perfect in every way and indistinguishable from a human. And that's revealed over the course of the episode. And we get a lot of more backstory into Data's history as well. So we got a couple of Android episodes going on here against each other. Ken, what is your pick between these two episodes?
This is a tough one. I like them both, and that's kind of what makes it difficult for me. Requiem, at the time, again, you know, this a lot of it comes back to your first emotions when you watch something. And I thought the cleverness of Requiem, where Flint goes, you know, 6,000 years old, if I remember correctly, and was all these different people, and the kind of unraveling that mystery and what he was trying to do. I was very Shakespearean and you know, sad. And I don't know, I thought it was really well done. And then with Inheritance, it just took us down a path again with, you know, kind of the shock, you know, another android. And I think that's been played before, but they actually did it pretty well. So it's a tough one for me. I guess the only thing I can say is that the plot line with Flint was just that much more clever, and that puts it slightly ahead. So I'll go with Requiem.
All right. As for me, this is the toughest one of this entire round so far, because I really like Requiem from Thusla. I think it's one of the underrated, overlooked episodes of TOS in general, but especially the third season. And it's actually one of the most recent episodes I saw. Like, it's one of the last new episodes of TOS I saw. So it has a fresher impression on me than the rest that I watch over and over and over over the years. Inheritance, I like a lot. It's actually one of my, of all the family reunion episodes, that's like probably my favorite. Because I love Data, and whenever we can expand his story and his, you know, he has a great dilemma in that episode. It's like, well, I can tell her that she's an android and that I won't be alone in the galaxy, but then it's going to end her life as she knows it, and she'll shut down, and I'll rob her of what I want, which is to be human. I'm like, oh, that's a great plot too. But Requiem for Methuselah, there is some criticism there, because, you know, how does Kirk fall in love with this woman for a day? But if Flint is, you know, thousands of years old, he understands, you know, human relationships, so he can create a perfect woman where Kirk can fall in love with her that way. Plus, you have the whole Rigelian fever going on, so I can say maybe he's under the effects of that. So, yeah, much like Ken, just for the like, kind of the originality of it, I'm going to go with Requiem for Methuselah by a hair, because I love both these episodes, but I'm going with TOS on this one. So, Justin, what's your take on these two episodes?
Yeah, so Inheritance is an episode that I really love. You know, I love that I know we see a lot of Data's family, but rounding it out with seeing his, you know, quote-unquote mother, and she's really an android, and I think it is a little creepy that Noonien Sung has created this android just to be his wife and replace his dead wife. But setting that aside, I think it is really interesting. And as you said, Zach, the dilemma that he has about what to tell her is very interesting. So I enjoyed the episode, you know, a lot, even on rewatches. For Requiem for Methuselah, I think there is, I mean, Flint is a very interesting character. He's lived thousands of years. He can't die. And he's gone through and been this creative force at different points in history. I think that's a really cool idea. But the execution of the episode itself, it feels kind of slow to me. And honestly, I do get a bit bored at times as they're kind of stringing it along. So I'm going to have to go with Inheritance on this one.
Alrighty, Justin. Thank you. Richard, what's your vote?
I absolutely love Data Stories, and I will have to go with Inheritance. Because, I mean, especially when you... So compared to, like, Requiem, I thought Requiem was a, it's probably closer to more of the bottom, in the middle bottom, but like, I mean, it wasn't terrible. I don't agree with Justin on that. It was a little slow, but I mean, it's just not, it just, when you're comparing it to like Inheritance, it's not as interesting, I guess, is how I'm trying to put it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Amy. Well, we have two votes for Requiem, two votes for Inheritance. You are the swing vote. That's exciting.
Well,
what's your take?
I definitely have listened to what you both have said about Requiem. And although you do make good points, I still have to go with Inheritance. And again, I think in this scenario, it just goes that that's the original series. Sometimes I just don't relate as well. And it is a good story. But like, TNG just pulls me more into the episode than TOS does. So in this case, I will have to go with Inheritance.
All right, well, we voted down the party line on that one, guys. But
for once, actually.
Well, it'd be interesting to look back at all the specifics, but I think that might be the first time that happened. That was a tough one, because I really do love both those episodes. But Inheritance wins the day, TNG wins the round. Moving on to round 14, Spectre of the Gun versus Genesis. Spectre of the Gun, the crew encounters the Melkoshians, who don't want to interact with the Federation, although they're in a mission to make contact. So they send them to the OK Corral in the Old West with incomplete buildings because they have incomplete knowledge of our history, which is, you can either think that is a ridiculously cheap production tactic or a very clever writing tactic to explain the cheap production costs that they have. Mileage may vary on that, but then they reenact the Battle of the OK Corral. So, which are famous American, famous moment in American history. Genesis is the episode where Barclay has a virus, Crusher treats it incorrectly and turns the crew into unevolved animals, like spiders and lizards and fish people and all that stuff.
That's why you don't let freaking Crusher treat you.
That's why Pulaski's better than Crusher. Yeah. Pulaski never turned anyone into a fish. Yeah.
Oops, I tried to turn on one gene and turned all the dormant genes on.
Could you be a little more careful when you're doing that?
It's like a big error.
It's like she spilled water on the sample or something like that.
Well, it's the only one we got. We got to go with it. So that's Spectre Gun versus Genesis. Amy, the first vote comes to you. What do you think?
Okay, well, I don't send the hate mail. I fell asleep, Spectre of the Gun. Three times. I could not get through it. So I cannot vote for it if it's boring me to death. I just can't. And Genesis, with the amazing makeup artists that were there, and the story, a little weird, as you say, Crusher sort of makes a mistake. Oops. But like, to see our crew revert into these crazy, you know, Troy goes to this amphibian and Troy and Worf is, you know, hunting her out, and Barclay into the spider, like the makeup and the acting that was done there. I really enjoy Genesis. So that is my vote.
Alrighty, Amy. Thank you. Richard, what's your vote?
So, first off, I want to say, Zach, thank you for ruining the half sets and everything. And like, because I was like, when I was watching it back a while, I absolutely, okay, so I love this episode, FYI, Spectre of the Gun, and mostly because it's the West, and they're in, you know, they're in this setting, trying to figure out what's going on, and I was, like, thinking through, when I was watching the episode today, it was, like, when I was a kid, I was, like, I used to think of it as, like, oh, is that how they see, obviously they see it, yeah, is this how they see it as, like, partial buildings or whatnot, so, but, like, Spectre of the Gun is one of my favorite episodes of TOS, and Genesis scares the crap out of me, or at least it did when it did when I was a kid, especially when Barclay comes up as a spider. So, oh, yes. Spectre of the Gun for me.
Alrighty, Justin, what's your pick?
All right, so I was rewatching Genesis earlier today, and I don't like Genesis at all. Sorry, Amy. Because, like, okay, so first of all, this whole de-evolving concept, which we've seen a few other parts in Star Trek, it makes no scientific sense at all. And I don't think it should be there at all. It's, I mean, they have to come up with this ridiculous explanation, like, oh, it's expressing some things in these introns that have been dormant for a while. And I don't know. Then why should Barclay be a spider and other people should be hominids? Anyway, so there's just some, and I found myself when I was watching it earlier today, you're supposed to be kind of frightened by it, but I was just laughing hysterically because it's so ridiculous. So it's unfortunately one of those TNG episodes I just can't get into. Now, Spectre of the Gun, I wasn't quite sure about it, you know, the first time that I saw it, but in rewatching it, I really appreciated some of the elements, the interaction with Kirk, Spock, and McCoy trying to figure things out, take things step by step. And usually I'm not that into, you know, kind of Western settings, but I thought this way of testing them was very interesting, and I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. So I'm going to have to go with Spectre of the Gun.
All righty. So for me, I love Genesis. Brandon Braga, crazy script. Saw it when I was a kid, was very scared by it. The jump scare with Barclay as a spider, like, ugh, terrifying. And then also with Worf, you know, like Monster Worf banging at the door and getting, like, I was really like worried about Picard. Like, oh man, he's going to get him. Like, he's coming toward him with the turbo lift. And like, he has to shock it a couple times because it doesn't, you know, it's just, it doesn't work. And it's great moments in this episode. And then one of these, and this happens sometimes in, it's kind of like Timescape, or like, people leave and they come back and like the ship has gone to hell. Like, what? I leave for like a day, you know, and the ship goes completely out of control. What does Picard think, right? But it's, you know, Picard and Data saving the day. A little preview for what we're going to get in the movies, I guess. But I guess, is it a guilty pleasure? I don't know, but I really enjoy Genesis. I have to vote for it. Spectre of the Gun, a solid third season episode. But I got to go with TNG's Genesis. So, Kid, you get a swing vote now, my friend. Which of these two are you picking?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting as I've been listening to this discussion, but thinking about how people view things, and, you know, that Amy obviously, you know, is up really late partying all the time and can't watch good television. just having fun, Amy. But, you know, when you try to compare, it's just interesting, right? When you try to compare the two shows one-on-one, and you take Spectre of the Gun, which is, I thought, a very clever plot, a very clever premise. They had no money. The network was trying to tear them down at that part. Every episode was like they were taking more and more out, and the show had to become more and more creative. That's one element. And then, you know, I always remember Genesis 2 with everything spinning, and they have to align in order to get on the ship. And I thought the effects were really good. And it's like, so you're taking modern, somewhat modern production with incredible special effects and makeup and all this other stuff versus a show that is, they were just going down two total different directions at that time. And I thought Genesis was okay. I you know, the whole T-cell thing. And I was like you, Justin, I think it's because it's a weird episode. I had a tough time getting my arms around it. What I kind of went down to was, how did they both end? I thought the end of Genesis was very easy for a very complicated situation. And I thought that the Spectre of the Gun was much more clever in how they resolved the issue. So that's how I'm going with Spectre.
Yeah, actually, it's something that you guys have brought up. As you know, we're giving Crusher a lot of flack here, but Gates McFadden actually directed
Genesis. The only one she directed.
Yeah, and you know, and she's, you know, big into.
That's a clever. That's a difficult episode to direct.
Sure, yeah,
sure. Yeah, even though she, her character did a dopey thing, but it was like all it was a. And it executed well. We've been using that term lately.
Yeah, and, you know, and that scene with Worf as the palace, she's like, "Let me open your mouth," and she gets acid in the face. Like, oh my god, we take one for the team there. But yeah, you know, it's, and Gacy McFadden was, you know, she's in the theater and all that stuff, and it would have been great to see her direct more episodes.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I'm not saying it's the only one she directed because I think she did a bad job. I think she did a great job. It's just very, very end she of did, TNG's yeah. run, so there wasn't much of a chance. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, but yeah, but I just wanted to definitely mention that bit of trivia since we're giving Crusher such a hard time. Love Gacy McFadden. Crusher underserved his character, but she's great.
Yeah, so. I wonder what Crusher de-evolved into.
Just something that healed her acid face, I hope, because they didn't really kind of brush over that.
Put her in stasis. We can't put her in makeup because she's got to direct the rest of it.
That's true. Yeah, that's funny. Like when actors actually direct episodes, if you notice, like their role is kind of like in the
with
Osprey,
a few
right?
exceptions, like Far Beyond the Stars is one that Avery Brooks directed. And he's very involved in that one.
Yeah,
That's true. So. That's true. There are exceptions, but yeah,
most of the time, yeah.
They're often like, oh, Commander Riker is off at so-and-so, but he'll be back for his scene, you know, because he's contractually obligated to appear. But anyway, good conversation there, guys. Like, great points all around. And TOS takes the round, which is nice to see because we were on a tough streak there on the standard order. So pulling into the station here, round 13. We got Land of Troyes and Firstborn. Yeah, so Land of Troyes is basically Taming the Shrew in space. Or the perfect mate for you TNG guys out there, just on TOS. They're ferrying a bride to be from one planet to another to end a war. And of course, you know, Kirk and her have a connection and they fall in love and all this stuff. So there's drama. Klingons show up. So that it's an eventful journey from one planet to the other for the Enterprise. And then on Firstborn, not to be confused with Bloodlines, this is the episode where Alexander from the future comes and tries to, you know, warrior himself up as a child so he can prevent Worf from being killed later on in life. He feels like he'd been a better Klingon. He could have protected his father and prevented his death. And old Alexander here, played by James Sloyan. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but he plays Dr. Mora on DS9. He played Admiral Jarok in The Defector. So he's one of those faces, kind of like Marco Lambo. He plays a lot of aliens, a familiar face on Star Trek. So, Ken, first vote to you. Which are you voting for?
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Both episodes were okay. Again, I think my bias towards not enjoying the time travel aspects of things and people going back in time, trying to do, you know, trying to change things or whatever. I don't like it because it opens the door to too many other things that people could do to mess things up. And I can't say I dislike the episode. It's just not my genre. It's just not something I enjoy. Alana Troyes, on the other hand, for me, I always enjoyed that episode because it had a lot of action. It wasn't that Kirk fell in love. She had these tears that had the, you know, this chemical that messed with it. I thought the ambassador who was trying to work with her, and, you know, he gets stabbed and all these things. And then there was a pretty famous line that's probably not very politically correct now about Vulcan women that I thought was absolutely hilarious in terms of how Kirk was delivering it to Spock. At any rate, for me, it's Alana of Troyes.
All right, as for me revisiting these episodes, actually revisiting when I revisited them from there to here, I was actually very surprised how much I liked Firstborn. It kind of got lost in the shuffle for me for season 7 of TNG. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remembered it was like Time Travel Alexander. That was the only kind of plot point I remembered. But, you know, I really enjoyed it. I feel like they were tying together lots of plot threads from TNG and at the end. Like, okay, Worf has this son. Sometimes we acknowledge him, sometimes we don't. Let's make sure that we address this before the series is over. And I feel like this is a very important step for their characters. And it the only kind of nitpick would be like, Worf figures out who he is, tells him to go back where he came from. He's like, okay, he just leaves. I'm like, that's it? Like, there's no, like,
the future Alexander has like a time pod or something.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, well, I'll go back now.
Like, all right, goodbye.
And it's kind of weird too, isn't it? In DS9, when Alexander does come back and he's, you know, he's in, he's a complete buffoon on the show. It's like this. this episode had no...
It doesn't really track.
Well, he hasn't gotten there yet. That'll take another 20 years.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Fair enough.
Land of Troyes, you know, okay. Not one of the episodes like was in my regular rotation when I rewatch it. So these are just both kind of average episodes of Star Trek to me. And I guess my surprise of rediscovering enjoying Firstborn is kind of put that one over the edge for me. So I'm going TNG and going Firstborn with this round. Justin, who are you voting for?
Well, like you, Zach, I actually really like Firstborn. I think there's interesting stuff when you see the Klingon festival, the Klingon rituals, and that this future Alexander is trying to set things right. But in the end, just by Worf realizing what he's doing, he might do things better in the future. And actually, maybe toward the end, he's a better father for it. So I like that the episode a lot. Now, Alon of Troyes. So the interesting thing, I was rewatching it and I had to stop watching it after a while because I get very upset about some of the things that happen in that episode because there's this woman who has some kind of power on her planet and I get the sense that someone has made this deal to force her to marry someone on a different planet with a different culture. And I think she's understandably very angry about it, but everyone's trying to civilize her and change her into something else. And at one point, Kirk threatens to spank her because she's a spoiled brat. I mean, I think that's totally way out of line for anything Kirk should be doing. And I actually get upset at a lot of parts of the episode. There's some good parts to it, but I really have a lot of trouble with Alon of Troyes as an episode. So I'm definitely going to have to vote for Firstborn.
All righty. Richard, what's your take?
I like Atlanta. I like the is it Elaine? Is that
Alon?
Elaine, thank you.
Alon.
I like Elaine of Troyes, and it's I honestly I forgot about it until Ken started talking about her teardrops and everything, and I'm like, oh man, now it all brings it back because I actually almost forgot about it. Now it's all back and everything, and I really like it. It's it's when I watch TOS, I definitely think of this episode. I really like the Klingon storylines and everything, and I absolutely love that we get to see more cultures or culture stuff within the Klingon Empire. So I'm gonna have to go with Firstborn.
That was a weird left turn you took in that statement, but I think I found
you. At least I didn't say I hate this one. However,
I love this episode, all this, but I also like this episode.
I do. I like both of them. They're really good episodes. It's just I like free first one more.
Yeah. Fair enough. They are good episodes.
So Amy.
Well, I'm going with Elon just because I don't like Firstborn and I don't like the way that Alexander comes back, and I know it's an interesting concept that it's like, well, you know, if you could go back and tell yourself, you know, what would you change? It doesn't make sense to me, and I don't like you said, the way how it ends. So I will also put my vote for Elon.
Alrighty. So TNG wins that round 3-2. So let's do the, we have concluded, bracket one or whatever you want to call it of our Trek Madness here, rounds 24-13. Looking at the spreadsheet, Ken, I'm a little concerned about our chances.
kind of adds up to where you voted there, Zachary.
are you saying this is my fault?
No, not at all. Hey, you know, listen, this is great. I don't care who wins. I just love having this discussion. And you know, to me, it's interesting. Like again, just listening to the different points of view. To me, that's what makes Star Trek interesting. And when I hear Justin and Amy and Richard talk, because we talk all the time about things, I find it interesting. I also see that there is, you know, a difference in watching and knowing TOS from the very beginning, and really appreciating the timelines and how things were, to looking at it today through a newer lens, a better lens, I think, in many cases, and saying, hey, that really bothers me. And it should, but I don't punish TOS for it because that was what it was like 50 years ago. And the differences that we're seeing. But I get it. I completely get it, and I completely understand it. And to me, it just makes me think a little bit more. And that's what this is all about. It's fun, and I'm really glad that this whole concept that I think was mostly Amy and you guys on the TNG, you guys came up with this whole idea, and I really do appreciate it. It's been fun. This TNG winning surprised me. Not really, but I am loving it. So yeah, no, I can't wait for the next.
It was fun to. It's definitely fun to talk about this stuff and kind of make this an excuse. This framework is an excuse for us to just kind of talk Star Trek back and forth, all five of us. And I ran some projections before we kind of got into this because just out of curiosity, like, does TOS even have a chance to win this? And I didn't rank them this way, so I feel like it balanced out a little better, and I just kind of listed the episodes off. But it's tough to see what these matchups are. If these matchups have been a little different, who knows what the result would have been. But like Ken said, it's not about like what's winning and losing. It's fun to hear, because he's right. Him and I talk about this stuff all the time. To hear you guys talk specifically about these episodes, it's interesting to get more takes on it from y'all, whose opinions we respect and appreciate. So it's a lot of fun going back and forth on this, and I'm looking forward to part two.
Wait a minute, Zach. Tomorrow. Are you saying since I put the list together that I skewed it for TNG's favor?
No. Jim Morehouse and Trek Ranks has skewed it.
I blame Jim Morehouse and Trek Ranks. No. All I did when I was looking at it was I kind of just put them in order from like first episode to last episode. I was like, oh, that one's better than that one. That one's better than that one. I felt like it was kind of somewhere in the middle. So it's not rigged, guys. That's not my concern. So
no, it's just a framework for discussion, and we've had some very interesting discussions about all. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's been great. Yeah. It's been great. I love this. I love, as I hit it right on the head. Getting different points of view on TOS episodes is one thing. And hopefully it's interesting from the TNG perspective, but we'll talk about that more on your show, won't we?
Yes, we will.
That's right. So before we sign off for today, guys, Amy, where can people find you outside of this podcast?
Well, you can find me here on the network. I co-host The Edge with Brandon Shea Mutella. And you can find me on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson, where I'm tweeting a little bit more about Star Trek and the things I'm doing there. But my favorite place is definitely on the Babel Conference. It's our listeners group on Facebook.
All right, Justin, what about you?
Well, besides finding me elsewhere on the network co-hosting Earl Grey with Amy and Richard, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at TrekFan4747, and I tweet about nothing but Star Trek, currently tweeting out my Season 5 rewatch of The Next Generation. And you can also find me hanging around the Babel Conference on Facebook.
All right, Richard, what about you, man?
Well, when I'm not training my dog, I am also with my...
Training? You have a different word for training than we do, huh?
No. We'll get back to that. But, like, you guys can find me in the Babel Conference. I pop in here and there. And little to none, I try to be on Twitter, and my handle is xransom. Yeah. On Twitter, yeah.
Alrighty, guys. Well, thank you so much for being part of Standard Orbit today. And we're looking forward to being on Earl Grey with y'all tomorrow. But until then, TOS Season 3 versus TNG Season 7 isn't the only thing that's being talked about on the network. Here's a quick look at what else you might have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
I should have had my mom buy me everything, because now it would be worth a ton, like the goofy Spock helmets. But I remember hooting at those things back in the day. You know, like, they think we're just stupid. That wasn't in the show. You don't have a real phaser, wouldn't say Star Trek on the side of it.
Standard Orbit.
I cannot find anybody in print saying,
we're going to the Standard Enterprise Delta to honor the Enterprise as being the first ship of the constellation, you know, the first of the five-year mission ships to come back relatively intact with its crew and ship intact.
And it was not some fan did not just say this. Somebody in the production somewhere, and someday, by God, I will find where this came from, because like we didn't all have this mass group hallucination about it. Somebody felt the need to say, everybody's wearing an Enterprise patch now, so, you know, that's past us.
To the journey!
So if we're going to have a more Vulcan-like Tom in Tuvom, presumably Tuvon would have to meditate, and he would have to go somewhere to meditate. I'm thinking he wouldn't just go to his quarters to meditate with candles like Tuvok does, or he wouldn't go sit on some rocks on a planet somewhere. He would go in the holodeck and lock himself in his Camaro and meditate with the radio on.
What would be playing on the radio?
Vulcan opera.
That sounds horrible.
Warp 5.
Shows the gestation of the Borg from their first cube and the diamond ships. Just transwarp conduits.
Floating on the ocean. Little Borg spacemen.
Yep.
Before they were fully immune to the outside elements, so they had little space helmets, Borg space helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Speaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
If you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit Patreon, that's patreon.com/TrekFM to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month, so we really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/TrekFM. We also want to thank very, very much our esteemed associate producers, Norman C. Lau, Nicholas Anastasio, Tim Robertson, Richard Marquez, Corey Elrod, and Dan Rhodes. So Norm, Nick, Tim, Richard, Corey, and Dan, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It means as much as we can possibly tell you the world to us that you've agreed to sign on and help keep Standard Orbit alive and well.
Yes, thank you so much, guys. We really do appreciate all your contributions. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the search field on Facebook and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select Standard Orbit. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. As for us personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach, that's MoreOnZach. And I'm also the host of my own show called Always Hold On to Smallville, where we talk about each and every episode of that Young Superman show. You can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. What about you, Ken?
Well, you can find me on Twitter as well at Boston, S-C-P-O, stands for at Boston Senior Chief Petty Officer. And I'm also on the Babel Conference whenever I can be, engaging and trying to add, you know, a lot of good provocative suggestions to our other shows. But anyway, we look forward to seeing you on the Babel Conference and responding back and forth on this show as well.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us this week. But stay tuned next time for another edition of Standard Orbit.